So we're looking at the series. We started off with the last two on supernatural help.
Hallelujah. Supernatural help. Hope someone says, let's say this was our Father. In the name of Jesus, we receive revelation found in the written word. Our eyes are open to see as you see, to hear as we ought to hear. This morning, we receive your word in clarity and simplicity to walk in the light of it every day, today, tomorrow, this week, next week, next month, next year, and decades upon decades into decades to come. Amen. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. So Matthew 1:1.
Matthew 1 was supernatural help. The book of the generations of Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now we said, yes, Matthew. Matthew is writing about the incarnation of Jesus, and it says the book of the generations. Now when you use the word generations there, is that shade of word for Genesis. So he is about to write about the incarnation story of Jesus, and it goes to the Genesis. That's the word Genesis there. Genesis for Genesis. He goes to Genesis chapter number 5. And he's writing the what? He's writing the story of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how is he writing? Like I said to us, the synoptic writers, we're writing in such a way that you are not detached. You don't get detached from where you are writing from. So they are writing from the 39 books, the one we call the Old Testament. And they are writing the story of Jesus from the Old Testament books. So that when you read their account, when you read their synoptic, you should not be detached. No. Amen. Amen. I said this to Ross. I said, you shouldn't read the New Testament book and it doesn't take you to the Old Testament. The exact statement of the Old Testament is God. It's not of God. Amen. Because anything you read in the New Testament book of your Bible should point you back to the 39 books. And we'll find it that way. Matthew will go back to Genesis. So that when you read, you have to always go back to Genesis. Amen. Look at Mark. Mark 1:1. Now, Mark used another shade of word for Genesis. Look at what it says. In Mark 1:1-3, he says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He used the word the beginning of the gospel. That word beginning there is that Greek word archaeoma. Archaeoma. Archae is used for Genesis also. Archae, beginning. I told you many times, when you find beginning in scripture, he's talking about Genesis. So he goes to the Genesis and he writes the beginning of the gospel. So he calls the gospel Genesis. He calls Genesis the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now remember, I said they are writing about the what? The incarnation of Jesus. How are they writing it? They are not writing Jesus as a mere story. No, they are writing Jesus as God. Jesus as deity. Hope you are hearing me. That's what they wrote about Jesus as deity. He's God. Okay, follow me. Jesus is God. So he wrote the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Watch it. So Matthew will say, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. I've told you, when you find Son of David, Son of Abraham, it means what? God, who will come through the lineage of men. He will be found in the lineage of men. Abraham and David. Okay, follow me that. Hallelujah. So they are writing Jesus as God. Amen. And Jesus also bore witness of that. In Matthew 28, he used the word verses 20. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am. So he used that word I am. I am there is the word ego am I. We saw that last week. Ego am I. Used for God. Ego am I. I am. Now in John 8, okay, let's not get to John. Let's wait a minute. Now, Egwemai, you saw God. Now in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, from verse 13, Moses said, who will I tell them have sent me? He said, when I get to them and say, the God of your father, they will say, what is his name? And God said in verse 14, I am. Say to them, I am that I am. Amen. Amen. Aya, Asha, Aya. It means, I am that I am. I will be what I will be. God is going in to redeem them, and he says, I am have sent you. So when he says, I am have sent you, it means I am is his name in redemption. Hallelujah. Is his name in redemption. In Genesis 1-2, Genesis 1-3, in the face of darkness, God says, I am light. Meaning in redemption, his name is I am. Hallelujah. So Jesus will say, I am with you. I am, ego am I, is with you. That's that Exodus statement. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he says, verses 20, let's rush to 20. He says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. He said, the Lord walking with. That is an Exodus language. The Lord walking with them. The Lord walking with them. That is an Exodus language. When he says the Lord walking with them, it means he is God. Hallelujah. He is God. So they are writing the incarnation as Jesus being God. Yet in function, he functioned as a man in the earth. Hallelujah. Don't get it, mister. But he is God. Let's jump to John. Don't use the same word archaic. It says in the beginning. Beginning again is Genesis. Don't get detached. Can you see that? Don't get detached. Don't get detached. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He's the same Word in the beginning with God. And all things were created by him. And without him was anything made that is made. Now what is in the beginning was the Word. Now we say that use of that word Word there is the word Dabar. Dabar is not just ordinary words. No, Dabar is used for the visible reality of God in the Old Testament books. Dabar is used for the visible reality of God, meaning God was visible in the Old Testament. God was visible and was visible as the Dabar. Amen. In Genesis chapter 15 verse 1, the Bible says the word of the Lord, the Dabar Yahweh, came to Abraham in a vision saying, this is so not mere words talking. He said he came. That he used that word for when someone comes to you. So that means the word came to Abraham. Hallelujah. Came to Abraham. In verse 14, he said the word of the Lord came. Verse 4, Genesis 15, 4. He said the word of the Lord came to Abraham saying. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord came to Abraham saying. In 1 Samuel. Chapter 3, verses 21. It says the word of the Lord. It says that the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by his name, the word of the Lord. By the name, the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the name, the word of the Lord. Do you see that? So, Dabar Yahweh, which is the word of the Lord, is the visible reality of God in the Old Testament books. So what John is writing, I said, watch the background of what John is saying. John was the last to write within the synoptic. And then he wrote at the time when almost all the apostles were gone, were dead. And then there arose those who were saying Jesus is not God. And John now wrote this specifically. In the beginning was the word, that Dabar. So every Jew scholar knows who the Dabar is. They know the Dabar is God. Amen. He now said the Dabar was with God and Dabar was God. They know that. Now he now says, and that Dabar, verse 14, that word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us and will beheld his glory. He is saying that Jesus is God. Something I want you to see also. 1 John. Watch quickly on 1 John. Now my man told us on Thursday that you must read John synoptic and is a piece together. Hallelujah. Look at verse 1. It says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our hands, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of the word of life. For life was manifested and we have seen. This is that, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was of the Father, was manifested unto us. Hallelujah. You know that? Look what he's talking about. Jesus is in his internal life was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and declared we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us, and through our fellowship with the Father and with the Lord Jesus and with the Son Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he writes it clear that Jesus is God. No, it's absolute. Amen. Jesus is God, is not, is absolute. Absolute. Glory to God. So we said, hallelujah. So we said that a good, that word, like we've said the word Dabar, is actually the word Logos. But we have to go back again to the 39 book to see the origin of that word Logos, right? It's actually the Dabar, the visible reality of God. God was visible within the Old Testament. So we have to always go back to reread, right? To reread. Therefore, we said a good Bible student is a good reader. A good Bible student is a good reader. And we said there are three kinds of reading. Glance reading. Glance reading. We say we'll have bias reading. I will have both some reading. Glass reading is when you just flip through. Some people flip through, flip past reading. They are flipping through. Amen. That's the wrong way to read. Some people read bias. How do they read bias? They read with a notion already. Amen. They read with a notion, with a bias notion. They already have something. They are looking for scripture to back it up. Scripture is not for backup. And let's go and back it up from scripture. No. Amen. Okay, let me. Scripture is not for backup. Not for backup at all. It's going back it up from the wall. Nobody is telling you that they back it up. Back it up. With what? Back it up. Back it up. Is scripture for backup or catch up? It's not for it. It's not for both. Scripture is to be taught. Okay, let me. It's to be taught. Taught. You teach. Glory to God. Amen. Bias reading. Some people read because they want to find the fault. Want to find the fault with what this guy is saying. So, glory to God. This thing, you and Kudi, it's called the wholesome reading. Where you read everything together. Everything together. I'm just doing a catch up on something that said in past 2 weeks. So wholesome reading. Now we said Jesus will question how the Pharisees went. Right? Did he question it? Now the Pharisees were scholars though. Were scholars. Scholars that stood scholars of Moses. Yet Jesus questioned them in Matthew 19 verse 4. He said to them, have you not read? They came to him, asking, can a man put away bread for any cause? And Jesus said, have you not read? He that made them at the beginning made them in and said, have been all read. Meaning he questioned how they read. He used that word anaginosko. Anaginosko is for to read well. Now anaginosko deals with two better things. It means to read systematically and have a thorough reading. It involves a systematic reading which is from the beginning. How many of you want to read for an exam? You're reading for JAMB or what we call JP. You don't know JP, don't worry. JAM will substitute for JP. If you read for JAM and you are reading anyhow, that is in key points, you will fail. Right? Right? Hey, now you fail. And that JAM hall and somebody by my side was sleeping. Just get them down, I was sleeping. That was when we used to shake JAM. We had to go to exam, the JAM hall, you shake with HB. Here's HB pencil. Must be HB and you must shade away. If you shade outside, you have missed. You have to shade away. So you are battling with time, battling with shading. Amen. All these CBT children. God has blessed you. You don't have to do many anymore. So when it comes to jam, so something like jam, you don't read anyhow, right? You don't read anyhow. You're there and then you have to read everything. I didn't attend jam lesson. I don't like attending lessons. So I read on my own. So I have jam syllabus. I was reading fast topic. I was reading it. So in math, there was only one topic I couldn't read. It's called mathematics. I skipped it. But I paid for it. Because when I opened the test, when I got to exam hall, I saw mathematics like 5 questions. I just left it and did a math class. Let me go to the one I read well. And in my YS, in my jam, I wrote government. I wrote commerce. I didn't do government. I did commerce and accounts. So I just finished everything. I went to commerce.
to start from the moon to the unknown. Are you the one to buy cars? What's doing it? But they will give you all the quotes on paper. They will not give you this one. They will give you all the quotes on paper. Give you all the answer sheet. Then you now sit from 95, I guess from 92 or 3. Write your exam. No standing up. Want to die, die there. Want to sleep and wake up at the end of the exam, sleep and wake up. Nobody will disturb you at all. But the only thing that will happen to you, you copy my center, they just can't X you. Answer sheet like this. Come back next. God bless you. Amen. So you have to read well. Hallelujah. You have to read well. So, wholesome reading, systematic reading will mean you have to read from chapter 1 to chapter 2 to chapter 3 to chapter 4 to chapter 5 to chapter 6 to the end. Hallelujah. That is wholesome. That is systematic reading. Yes. So you have to read thoroughly. Now, this was very vital in as Jesus used it to correct the Pharisees. He said, have you not read? Meaning they skipped Genesis. They didn't read systematically, right? In Matthew chapter 12, they came to him telling him that Jesus, that came to Jesus saying his disciples did what was not lawful to be done on the Sabbath. And Jesus pointed their attention to details that they missed in verses 3 and 4. Amen. He said, what about David and his people when they went into the holy place of war or the temple and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful to be eaten? Did you see that? It was not lawful. So he showed them, oh, did you miss that? Did you miss that too? Meaning, what Moses gave to them, if you read well, you will see that if you read well and not skip details, you will see that what Moses was writing to you was symbol. What he was giving to you was a symbol, not the real thing. Hope you understand that. So a good reader a good student is a good reader, right? And to have a good teacher, you must be a good student who is a good reader. Hallelujah. Did you understand that? Now last week we began answering the question, how did God create man? How did God create man? Genesis 1:26. He says, let's make man in our image. So God created man in his image. Are you following me? God created man how? In his image. Genesis 9:6. Man was created in God's image. In chapter 2, verse 8, Genesis 2:8, God formed man from the dust of the earth. So we said, man is what? Spirit, soul, and body. God made man to have a spirit, a soul, and a body. Now we said, spirit, soul, and body is to make you see that God created man to function in the supernatural and in the natural. God created man to function in the supernatural and in the natural. In fact, Bible opens up as a supernatural book. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Supernatural. Is that? So the Bible itself opens up as a supernatural book. Heaven and earth. So God made man to function where? Supernaturally and naturally. This is heaven and earth. God made man to function in both worlds. Amen. To function in both worlds. Where in both worlds? Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we are in the best of the two worlds. I love that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's supernatural. Amen. So, in both worlds. And then I showed us last week that there is what is called the dark supernatural. Did you understand that? The dark supernatural. We'll see a bit around the supernatural right now. Amen. So, when you say heaven and earth, God made man to function in both supernatural. Both in the supernatural and in the natural. It therefore shows you, it will be lost on you when the serpent visited Eve. For you to see that it was a supernatural being. So, a supernatural being had encounter with Eve. The serpent is not snake. Snake doesn't talk. You know, most of them will have that perception. That will say, oh, when we read Genesis chapter 3, the serpent was more soft, and then we now have it pictured in our head that the serpent was the snake that came down the tree. And I said, Eve, are you the thief? I heard God say you should not eat of that tree. And I said, yes, sir. Now you actually eat of that tree. God, no. As if he's got it, you know. God, no. And your eyes will be open.
You will not be like God. Where will you get the word given to my own son to eat?
No! That was a supernatural thing. Now, I told you animals were not used many times. I mean, were not used literally at some point. Or, especially in Genesis, were not used literally all the time. Hallelujah. Animals were not used literally as animals. Animals were used to describe the different kinds of men, different kind of behavioral patterns. So now, he wants to now explain the behavioral pattern of that supernatural being, and he used the serpent. He said the serpent was more subtle. Now that is the function, was more subtle. So when Jesus said, you tread upon snakes and scorpions, look at what Jesus called serpent. You tread upon snakes and scorpions and over all the works of the enemy. So he called the snake and the scorpion the works of the enemy. So that means at the background of such behavior is a supernatural being. Did you see that? Amen. And it was on their journey to evangelism. He says you tread upon snakes and scorpions. Who are they going to meet? They are going to meet men, but he says you tread upon snakes and scorpions and it calls to the works of the enemy. So when Moses writes and now says to you the serpent was more subtle, he wasn't referring to a snake. He's referring to a supernatural being that had an encounter with Eve. What about you? A supernatural being. A supernatural being. Amen. Then, look at how Paul will now explain that supernatural being. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Quickly, let's get to 2 Corinthians here. Friend of me. Can you see why it's good? Why it's good for us to learn God's word the right way? Some people today, they will see a snake. You don't need to kill the snake if you want to kill the snake. You'll be sprinkling, you'll be shouting, blood of Jesus! Kill the snake! Or the snake is going to sting you if you want to. Kill the snake! I remember sometime like that, one evening in the night, I was sitting on this, and I came downstairs to carry gallop. And cat just ran. I saw a woman, saw the cat running. She said, you demon, in the name of Jesus, die! I was so shocked. There, I mean, a cat. Because he saw the night vision of the cat. You know, cats, they have night vision. Right? And he saw the night vision. He said, you demon. And some people think, when the cat, when you see a cat in the night, and that night vision is off, they think it's a demon. You are trying to possess me. In the name of Jesus, my body is the temple of God. Nigeria movie needs. And it's like, and the cat is just looking at you like this. Actually, cats cannot see without the night vision on. And you think they are seeing you clearly with color? No, it's night vision. It's night vision. If not, they will be hitting everything. And the world will be hitting everything. So the night vision makes them see clear, so they put it on. Then the daytime they don't put it on, because they can see God's daytime. Hope you are following me. Hey, lions too have it. Tiger have it. Night vision. So you now see a lion, now they say, you demon. Don't run. It will come for you. Alright? You got, some people will now turn to dog. See cat. Whoa, whoa. Glory to God. They deceived you. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 11, right? Verse 2, it says, for I am jealous of my duties, Paul, over you with godly jealousy. For the spouse to one husband, and I represent her as a chaste virgin to Christ. For I fear, lest my enemies, even as the serpent beguiled Eve. Now, remember I told you the function of the serpent, positive and negative, right? Section 1, right? Okay, so even as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Watch it. It's explaining Genesis 3. It says, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So that means what happened to Eve is what? Away from the simplicity that is found in Christ. Now, it says, so I force you as a... Now, he was talking about here, what he's teaching here is false doctrine, false teaching rather, false teaching, anti-Christ.
Now he's talking about the Antichrist, and he says, even as the serpent beguiled Eve.
See that?
Even as the serpent beguiled. So that means what happened to Eve, listen, was a corruption away from the simplicity that is found in Christ. Right? Right? And it's found in false teachers. So that means Antichrist is not what man is expecting. Antichrist is what has been since Genesis. Amen. False teaching has been since where? Genesis. And what Moses wrote for you to see is the fact that at the back of it, at the back of unbelief, at the back of what corruption away from the simplicity that is found in God's plan, will, and purpose, is a supernatural being. Amen. It's a supernatural being. So, the same way faith in Christ is the work of the Spirit, unbelief towards God's work is caused by supernatural being. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Okay. And what was that deceit? What was that deceit about? What was that corruption about? It says to Eve in Genesis 3 that you would be like God. You see that? Genesis 3. A lot of people show you this because I've seen some people say this nonsense. I've seen some people say it and try to prove it, but they are saying nonsense. Look at that Genesis 3 again. Right? Verses 4. And Satan said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day thou shalt eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Did you see that? Did you see that? And they will read that into what God now says in verses 22. Now man is become as one of us to know good and evil. Did you see that? It looks as if what Satan said is what has happened, right? Man has become like one of us. God knows the day you eat, your eyes will open and be like God. What Satan said to them, what God said is different. What God said is man has become like one of us means man has become independent of us. You see that? Man has become independent of us. And this is outside how God created man. God didn't create man to be independent of him. Because there's nothing called independence. I used some countries that have gained independence from colonial master as an example. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As an example, there are several countries today who have gained, who think they have gotten independence from colonial masters. Okay, please. I don't want everybody to wait. What is white wedding? White wedding is white man's traditional wedding. But yes, white man only do traditional, do not go to do white wedding and they are back. Everything is settled. But you will do introduction. If I evil on evil is works, they'll come and do Ikuaka 1. Ikuaka 2. Guys, they are just coming to knock. And they are coming to knock. They are not coming to knock without something though. They are coming to knock with Benjamin there. Ikuaka 2. Well, when they come for Ikuaka, they thought that they will not give you leave. They will tell you. Yes, now. The family is getting to know each other. You break cola, not drink this, pan wine. Three quarter three. You just to come and say, how far is the list now ready? Yes, the list. Now give you list. Now go and do traditional wedding. That's what is now calling bamboo. That is a title. What are you saying, bamboo? Amen. What in Yoruba will call intro. After that one, you don't go to church. Please, if I do Ifanku today, am I married? Somebody has a question to his pastor. Am I married if I do Ifanku? Or when did I come to church? Maybe, like me now, I did my first intro, family intro, in January. And I did ready in December. Are we married? Yes, that's how my pastor, the dear minister said, until you wait till you are, until you do white wedding. There's very white wedding. Bread and I'm looking. You start counting 9 months. Now I told you to do that. You start counting 9 months. You see, people don't count. People used to count. And if you don't give birth before 9 months, I'll say, Man of God. I say, Man of God. Before 9 months, he's a man of God. And he will be coming and be doing the word. They were counting all along. I told you guys my own experience. After 9 months, they began to go, how far now? He never showed. He's always that fool. Amen. People are always counting. You know where they go? So, at what point did the person get married? He said, after a wife, this guy wife's wedding. Okay? Do you mean? You've done your traditional wedding. Even if your wife's wedding is the next 10 years, you are married from that day. Carry your lady home. We don't have to go and live together. Yes now. So what the money is for the traditional wedding, so what? So we want the Lord's blessing. Or what? You want the Lord's blessing, bring your pastor to traditional wedding. Papa, I don't pray for us. Thank you. There's no need for white man traditional wedding. After that one, you go to church. Now say, blessing. How many families, the people that have gone to white weddings, that the family has collapsed. They know, I want the blessing of God over my marriage. I left you. Amen. Amen. Stop it. Then the brother will now spend money. For the children, now come and kick out white wedding because it's very, very important. Kick out. Abi, listen, you must kick out. Rather than killing cow, now go and change again for reception. After marriage, there is no complete reception. Okay? But you are ready to get married in this church. In this church. You are ready to get married. Let me know. On that day of the traditional wedding, you are married. You are what? See, there are only two kind of marriage that the law in Nigeria recognizes. Don't recognize church wedding. He recognizes the traditional wedding and the court wedding. So you are ensured that on that day of your wedding, you do your court wedding. Do your traditional. Take your people home. If you have people, if you have anything for the brethren that will stay behind, give them something. Me, I will not come and stand. What did they do 2 days ago? He said, in the presence of the brethren. Which scripture? Give me scripture. Jesus went for traditional wedding and he didn't do white wedding. The wedding at Cana did not match. Jesus was not ready at all. Is it? They drank shit. You think it's a joke? Jesus was there. Traditional wedding. They didn't do white wedding. You hear Jesus say, no. Mama, calm down. We won't do anything now until they come and do white wedding. You're deceiving yourself. Amen. So, have you heard me? Shall I invite you for your traditional wedding? Then I will see your parents. And yeah. Will you do white wedding? If they are forcing you for white wedding, let me know. We will discuss. Come on now. I know somebody after their wedding, they began to beg. They spend all the money trying to impress me. At the end of the day, they will give you cooler and plate. I see a bed in my house. Most of them are roasted. I wanted to throw some away because Pastor Joy that was begging me, please, we'll buy anti-rot. I said, this is that's not important. Yes, ma'am. You don't pack it. Cough. Go back. And you ate cow meat, big one. You ate them, oh thank you. Big one. I give me cough. The people that will not give you the good thing are the ones that you know personally, family, give you this. But when you other person like it, rubber, cough, please. And then after they are done, you still give them thank you. Souvenir. Look to yourself. You're not impressing anybody. Hope you're learning. I'll be there on the traditional wedding. We'll see. We'll dance. We'll do. Kill him. We'll dance everything. Bye-bye. God bless you. Carry your spouse. Amen. Hope you're with me. I thought to say that. Let's continue. Where were we? Where were we?
Independence.
I know somebody has said, no, everybody is doing what today I must do, including a man of God. A man of God. I told him.
Yes.
You know why he did white wedding? He said, sir, I must do pressure. Pressure. Under pressure. If I knew what I knew then when I got married, I won't do white wedding. God knows. And it was not a joke. It was not a joke. We were planning for it to be as small as it can be. As small as it can be. 2 weeks to wedding, the thing became elaborated. I didn't tell my neighbor guy, if I inform all my people, that place from all around the country will all be there. But I didn't inform. Because we wanted it to be small. No time for big things. Because I need money to continue. The journey is fast. You have to start a journey and spend all your money. When I enter the journey, the economy will not be looking at you, I'll be looking at the economy. Nothing. Amen. What were we? Genesis 3. So, okay. How did I even get to? Okay. Independence. So there's nothing called independence. There's nothing called independence. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing called independence. So, actually, what God said is man has become independent of God. Independent of God means man is away from God. So to be away from God is to be where? In darkness. Dark supernatural. You see that? So to be independent of God, to be away from God, means you are dependent on the devil. You are in darkness. That was Genesis 1-2. In the beginning, what God made is heaven and the earth. Heaven is for the supernatural, earth is for man. God made God and man together. In verse 2, you now have, the earth was without form and void. The earth without the heaven is darkness upon the face of the earth. You see that? Without God, what you have is darkness. So when God said man is independent of us, it means man is in darkness. That is exactly what God said to Adam in Genesis chapter number 2. When he said, the day you eat of this tree, you will die. Death there is away from God. Death there is independence of God. That is death. That is dark supernatural. That is in darkness. Hallelujah. Okay, following me. Okay, following me. So the day of unbelief is darkness. This is that away from God's garden. Remember, man was already away from God's garden. And God said, man is independent of God. Man is away from us. Man is away from our garden. So garden there, God's garden, or the garden of Eden, is actually what? God's presence. This is that, we saw that, right? It's God's presence. So man is away from God's presence. Hallelujah. So, how did God create man? God created man to be dependent on him. Genesis 1:3. So we saw the earth without the heavens. Genesis 1:3. He said it was empty and void. And darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Verse 2, you see. Then, and the Spirit of the Lord moved over the surface of the water. And God said, let there be light. Now I said that word, let there be light there, is from that Hebrew word, higher force. Amen. No, sorry. Force is Greek. It's what higher in the Greek is Edwemai force. But in the Hebrew is actually higher or. Higher or. It means I am light. God there is not let there be light. It's actually I am light. God says in the face of man's darkness, what man needs is light, which is God. God says I am light. So in John 8 verse 12, Jesus will now say, I am the light of the world. That is Genesis chapter 1 verses 2 into 3. I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness. Genesis 1:2. He that follows me will not walk in the dark supernatural. Is that it? He that follows me will no longer be independent of God. Is that it? Amen. But he would have the light of life. That is, he will be dependent on me. So that is how God created man. God created man to be dependent on him. Amen. I said the fishes can't live outside the water. When you find a fish outside the water, it's struggling to get back to water by any means before he dies. So that is man. Man cannot function outside the supernatural. The supernatural. And I said, because of this is the reason why people do voodoo. Yeah. Why people serve idol is because away from God is man looking for what? Help. Any man that is outside door is helpless. So, because they have that, there is that hunger. Man, God has created it that there is that vacuum in man. There is that vacuum, that space in man to always sought after God. I said this to us years back. And I'll say it again, that man tastes for something. These are far back as 7. Man tastes for something. There's that hunger in man. And that vacuum is the vacuum for God. God created man that way to always want him. God created man to always want him. Amen. To always need him. God made man dependent on him. So away from God is that vacuum not filled. Do you see that? So what does man go to? Because of that hunger for the supernatural, man go into voodoo, jazz, occultism. Amen. These are all that supernaturals. Hallelujah. Because of the quest for God. There's that quest for God in man. Amen. Now, did you now see how Paul will answer those guys that have the unknown God? Did you see that? The unknown God. Because there's that vacuum in man to search for God. But man cannot search for God on his own. God is the one. Man will only have to accept what God does. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Amen. So man's search for God is the reason why men will serve idols. So I say wherever you find idol worship is rebellion from God. Wherever you find idol worship, voodoo, jazz is rebellion from God. That's supernatural. That's supernatural. Hope you're following me. That's supernatural. And I say it also goes further. Now people are saying, ah, jazz, bad. Satan will always move them. Amen. That vacuum is where people go for club. I said it years back, and I'm not saying what I said years back. This is where people go for club. This is where people smoke it, go. Vacuum. Is the reason why people go into drugs and look for highness. Because there's that vacuum of the supernatural. Amen. Amen. In just that vacuum. Hallelujah. Amen. So God created man to be dependent on him. To be dependent on him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, we said, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him and help him. Amen. He said, I will make him and help me. And now we saw that help me last week. He said, the help me is not woman. Woman cannot help. Amen. He said, ah, God, what do you mean? Woman is not the help me. Somebody said, so, sister, I'm not telling you not to flow when a brother is giving you lines. Amen? Amen? Or are our brothers lost lines, sister? Have they lost line? Have they lost line? Yeah, you have to give them the word. You say, you know, let me teach you the word. Again, only then. Very good. But I said, you are my mystery. I said, oh! The whole of you, sister, with all the word I'm teaching you, I read. Read. You don't even classify yourself as well. Read. You're not even spinal cord, you are a leaf. Yeah. You're an angel. Oh, I'm an angel. Oh, I'm an angel. You're an angel, you say, I'm a son. I'm a hero. Alright? Yeah. So the brother can't change. No, you're an hero. You say, yes, say the word, say the word, say the word. Amen. But you know, your sister is not help me. The word help me is what is that? Use for God alone. You know, I hear some people say, when you know sister are not helping me, is when you are driving a car. Look at Dixon's Lexus. Just imagine Lexus. Now park. It's not park. But let's imagine the car. Anything happens to you. Maybe not have flat tires. It's not raining. That's a lady that Dixie's wearing suit. Who do you think this will give to? He will not even give the suit to Daremo. He will give it and give it to the sister. Take it. Oh, come and stand under the shade. You not stand under somewhere shade. Who will be losing the tire? Inside the angels. He! So where is he helping? No, 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 no. Don't mind, I'm just joking. Well, you know, but you understand what I'm saying. Just trying to make you see that the woman is not the help. The help meet is God himself. Amen. Amen. The help me. And I told us to read this from verse 15 into verse 18 so that you see that God can be talking about himself and then now switch to a woman. Come on now. Ah. It is even now said that see Moses is having he has lost something, just switch to woman. No, no. The woman came up later to talk about what you find. He now said the ribs there. Ribs. In fact, if you ask Moses, what is the ribs? What is the ribs? Moses does not know the meaning of the word ribs. Say, Moses, show me your ribs. Say, I don't have it. Because Moses didn't write ribs. His translations are full ribs. Just like they ask Moses, Moses, where do you think from? You say, oh, yeah. Yes, Moses, show me your brain. You don't know what brain is. This fast. Yes, because the word brain was developed just recently. In the days of Moses, they thought they think from their stomach. You don't know. They thought this is where they think from. Out of your belly. Who knows what AI is going to say people are thinking, but maybe from the leg. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Moses didn't know what is called ribs. But Moses was writing there, the ribs of the Bible is talking about, and ribs is used in by Moses to talk about the site of the temple. You see that? You see that? The site of, so that means what Moses was the vision that Adam saw. Adam saw, I think the same vision that Abraham saw, that Jacob saw, that Joseph dreamed of. Listen to that teaching. Right? Leading and perception. Visions. Dreams, visions and what? Dreams, visions and one another. Just listen to it. Leading of the Spirit. I taught that. That's the same one where analyze the visions all together. That's the same vision. He's talking about God's plan in the earth. It will involve both the male and the female. Everybody. Hope you're following me. Everyone. Glory to God. So the helpmeet is God. So God is the helper. Hallelujah. So man was created to always depend on light. Now can I call it light supernatural? Right? Light supernatural. Because it is dark supernatural. Light supernatural. Light supernatural. Man was created to always depend on light supernatural. So, how many people say this? Dark supernatural is man's creation. You're going to see that. It's man's creation. Amen. Amen. So, how did Moses now show man's dependency on God? God will now show that God will put man in his garden. The Garden of Eden, Genesis. Garden of Eden. So when Adam sinned, Adam was away from God's presence, right? We saw the Garden of Eden in Ezekiel to be the Garden of God, right? God's sacred place. So garden is used for a sacred place. A sacred place. A sacred place. So God's sacred place, God's presence. Now before you think what happened to Adam and Eve was for all men. So some people say Adam sinned. Every man is a sinner because of Adam. So they say he sinned in the mother conceived. It's not true. Amen. In fact, the next set of people you see in Genesis 4 is Cain and Abel. They were found in God's garden. I thought God has given man. No. Don't miss. What Moses wrote with Adam and Eve was not to tell you that every man is born a sinner. What Moses wrote with Adam and Eve was to show you what sin does to man. A whiff of God. Don't miss it. So, a man is not a sinner because of Adam and Eve. Come on now. A man is not a sinner. Then what about Cain and Abel? What about Cain and Abel? They were found in God's presence, in God's garden, in God's Eden. And when Cain killed Abel, what happened to Cain? The same thing that happened to Abel happened to Cain. I mean, the thing that happened to Adam happened to Cain. He was taken away from God's presence. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Amen. He killed him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, we say the Garden of Eden will be dependency on God. Is that what we said? Is that what we said? I mean, let me pick out what I eventually wrote in session one. Dependency on God. Okay, on God. Therefore, something we'll see shortly is that the new birth will be God helping man. We're going to see that shortly. Look at Exodus 6. Exodus 6. Let me give you a background. At this point, the children of Israel were looking at the garden, right? And the land. Now, the children of Israel were already in Egypt. So what is Egypt? They were already in Egypt. Now, what is Egypt? Egypt is used for darkness. We're going to see why. Egypt is Genesis 1-2. Put that in your Bible. Egypt is Genesis 1. So when you get to Genesis 1-2, when it's darkness, take a Bible. I want to teach you how to power. Even my new Bible has actually began to receive the light of my pen. Let me tell you what to do. Amen. Take a pen, Genesis 1-2. Then when you see the earth of the stars form and void and darkness. So just look at that darkness, draw an arrow and put Egypt. Amen. Egypt will be tagged because that is how Moses described Egypt as that darkness. Amen. So watch it. So they were in Egypt. Egypt is darkness. Egypt is used to describe man's independence. And that is what Genesis 1-2 is. The earth without the heaven is man's independence. The Egypt is man's independence away from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man's independence. Look at Genesis 26. Look at what God said to man. Genesis 26. Do you really know how much I love you? Now there was famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. This is Isaac. Now there was famine in the time of Abraham, and Abraham went to where? Egypt. Right? What you do? Abraham went to Egypt and lied. Right? Went to Egypt. And then he came back. Glory to God, he came back. Now look at this. Now look at what God said to Isaac in verse 2. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, do not go down into Egypt. You see that? You see that? Do not go down into Egypt. Dwell in the land that I shall tell thee of. So, do not go down to where? That word, do not go down there, is the word, do not settle down in Egypt. So God told Isaac, do not settle down. It's an instruction. Do not do what? Settle down in Egypt. Okay, follow me. That's the word. Do not settle down in Egypt. Glory to God. Do not settle down in Egypt. You got to see that. Hallelujah. So, why? Because Egypt is a description of what? Man's independence. Darkness. Do you see that? Hallelujah. But take note. Where did they sell Joseph to? The same, did you see man's will? The selling of Joseph was this man's will. So whenever you find Egypt, it deals with man's will away from God's plan. So they sold their brother, man's will, evil over good. You see that? Where did they sell him to? Egypt. What are you following that? So God has to work with that. They sold their brother to Egypt. So, selling into Egypt is also man's will. Man's will. Hallelujah. Sold into Egypt. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, have you seen the instruction of God? Do not go down to Egypt. Did you see that? Can you see it? but there's an exception. Now, there was famine. Genesis 46. There's an exception here. Genesis 46. Verse 3. Now there was famine and they almost died. But Jacob was almost dying. And now, he said to Israel to go and buy and come back. They went there. They see their last brother, Benjamin. They didn't know it was Joseph, right? See their last brother, and they then said, go and bring your father. Amen. And here is Jacob in that misery. God, he knows. He's not supposed to settle down in Egypt. He knows. It's God's instruction. Don't settle down in Egypt. Hallelujah. But yeah, in verse 3, and he said, I am God. You see that? Amen. The God of thy father, fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will be there. For I will there make thee a great nation. Hallelujah. And I will go with thee into Egypt, and I will assuredly bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hands upon thy eyes. Did you see that? Amen. Did you see that? He didn't want to go. God said go. Because why? Joseph is there. Hallelujah. God, Joseph is there. But what is God's original plan? Man shouldn't settle down. They shouldn't settle down where? But God said go. Because Joseph is there. That Joseph will see. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Amen.
Amen.
But even at that, there was a disclaimer. Amen. Because Joseph was there, he's already seen. Hope you know that. Joseph being there is sin. It's evil over good. They sold their brother in slavery. So that slavery on his own is not good. Hope you are following me. But there was still a disclaimer. Even while they were there, that they shouldn't be there. Hallelujah. In Genesis 48, just two chapters ago, Moses was very clear about how he knows. In Genesis 48, verses 21, look at what Joseph did. Look at what how Moses would pull that. Genesis 48:1. He says, and Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your father. Look at that. So that disclaimer, he will bring you again. That is, you are not going to stay here. Hallelujah. Amen. This is not the place. Glory to God. Like what Bohegan will call it, we'll call it permissive way. This is not the place. Hallelujah. This is not God's plan. But you will find yourself here. Yeah. Remember, did God speak to Abraham about this thing, that his descendants will be found in a strange land? Genesis 15. Did God speak to Abraham about it? Yes. And that's what he's playing now, in a strange land. Strange land there implies, when you use the word strange land there, it used for a land that is outside promise, a land of evil and idol. Strange land. Did you see that? So it's already giving you the description of what Egypt is. Strange land, evil, idol, darkness. Did you see that? Amen. What happened to this strange land? That is not there. Glory to God. In Genesis 51, remember this 22, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years, and Joseph saw Ephraim's children, and the third generation. Now look at verse 24, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, watch it, and bring you out of this land, into the land which he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath to the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from here. This is a disclaimer to show that was not the real place we were supposed to be. You see that? That's not supposed to be the real place. Glory to God. That's not the real place. Amen. Amen. Because there's that God disclaimer, don't settle down. But they settled down. They gave them Goshen. They settled down in Goshen. Choice area in a foreign land. Just by saying in government house, you will stay in government house in a foreign land. In a foreign land. In darkness. Hallelujah, the statute. Hallelujah. But look at all the disclaimers. God will bring you out. God will bring you out. Shows you that he God will bring you out. Shows you that Egypt is man in need of God's help. God will surely bring you out. Because Jacob knows that we don't enter, we don't enter. You know, other nations, not only Israel that came there to buy food, other nations came to buy and left. Did you see? But only Israel came to buy and stayed. And now they say, God will surely bring you. Meaning, man will need God's help. Hallelujah. Amen. So Egypt is man in need of God's help. Man in need of the supernatural. Okay, follow me. They couldn't live. In fact, verses 8 of Exodus 1, it continues. I said, now there was a new king over Egypt who knew not Joseph. And he said to his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them. Live, they multiply, and it comes to pass that when they fell out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, kingdoms, and ramparts. Did you see that? And the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. So they began to afflict them. So Egypt is now bondage. Did you see that? Egypt is now what? Is now what? Can you see Egypt? Darkness, bondage. So man is now in need of God's help. Amen. So the description of Egypt and the tribe of Israel in scripture is man in need of God's help. Meaning showing you that man cannot help himself in darkness. Man cannot help himself in darkness. What man needs is light. Genesis 1:2. I am light. What man needs is God. I am light. Okay, I follow you. Amen. Now Exodus 6 verse 4. Wow, I'm so slow. Exodus 6 4. And how much? And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah I was unknown unto them. Verse 4. And I have established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan and the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they shall be strangers. Watch it. And I've also heard the groanings of the children of Israel from the Egyptians. Watch it. Remember I said Egypt is bondage. Keep in bondage. And I've remembered my covenant. Wherefore, since say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I'll bring you out from under the bondage of the Egyptians. I'll bring you out of their bondage. Can you see that? And I will redeem you with an outstretched hand and with great judgment. And I will take you unto me for your people. Did you see that? Did you see that? I will take you unto me. So they were coming out of the land of Egypt to where? To where? Before you call Canaan, it's to God. So Canaan and Egypt were used as symbols. Egypt was to show darkness. Right? Right? They were coming out and God says, I will take you unto me. Did you see that? So unto me. So out of bondage unto God. Did you see that? Paul will put it, he has redeemed, he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and has translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. Did you see that? He meant to himself. So we are taken out of bondage. Out of Egypt is out of bondage. Into Canaan will be where? Into the land will be what? To God. Did you see that? Okay, following that. To God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is God saying he's going to redeem them to himself. To where? To himself. In Ezekiel 36, we saw that last week, 24 to 26. Ezekiel 36. Come on, he says, I will take you from out of the heathen. I will take you from among the heathen. You can put there Egypt's darkness. Do you see that? And gather you out of all countries and I'll bring you to your own land. What is your own land? Himself. Do you see that? Himself. Amen. To your own land. Did you see land again? Himself. Is that garden? Garden of God? Is that the garden of Eden? Yeah. Amen. You need to see, because he has spoken about the garden of Eden in Exodus 28. I mean in Ezekiel 28. So you have to watch that flow to your own land. He's talking about the garden. Talking about the garden. Now what does he refer to the garden? A new heart will I give you and a new spirit. So he refers to the garden as spirit. What am I following? He refers to the garden as what? Spirit. Himself. It's all about the sprinkling of clean waters. You have been clean from all your idols, and now you're fitting them to that clean. Amen. A new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. That is it. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. That is taking you from among the heathen. And I'll give you a heart of flesh. That is the spirit. Okay, for you. Amen. Amen. So the land is described as the spirit. Right? So that we say the land is described as the spirit. The land is described as God, right? Not a Canaan somewhere, but as God. Now, is the land described also as the Garden of Eden? Is that the Garden of Eden? So we can say the Garden of Eden stands on the same pedestal as the what? The land. Hallelujah. And it will be supernatural. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, we can say, man is always, or put that is, man by default seeks after the supernatural. By default seeks after the supernatural. So therefore, the new birth is supernatural help. God has helped us in the new birth. Hallelujah. The new birth is supernatural help. God has helped us in the new birth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we can say, I'm mightily helped. I'm mightily helped in the new birth. Hallelujah. Look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Oh, my time is off, but we'll round it off. Deuteronomy, chapter number 30. Deuteronomy 32, 11. If as an eagle stirred up her nest, fluttered over her young, spread abroad her wings, taketh them, bearded them on her wings, so the Lord did this, and there was no strange God. Hallelujah. Do you see how we experience man's help? How God is helping man? As an eagle stirred up her nest, fluttered her wings, fluttered over her young. That's how God helped her. Spread over your, spread abroad her wings. Which is her young, right? Bearded them on her wings. Did you see that? That is how God bears us. Oh, hallelujah. Have you seen an eagle teach the child to fly before? Eh? Have you seen an eagle teach an eaglet to fly by the child? Eh? Have you seen it? It's a beautiful sight to behold. Rely on documentary. We will take it high up. Then you will now leave. Oh dear! You leave him something to fly. Then go down. And you get falling and trying to talk, you will not be able. The eaglet starts to fly. All along. Don't care. I'm here. Nothing will happen. You won't hit your body on the floor. I will dare you. Glory to God. That's how it is. He takes it off. What is it? No, you hold it. Don't worry. That's what God says to us sometimes. All the time, don't worry. All the time, don't worry. Situations can look tough and tight. Don't worry. Amen. Don't worry. You know, many times, if we can just hear God say to us, don't worry. Just laugh. Don't worry. Amen. Don't worry. Keep the worry in our peace. Don't worry. Amen. God says that to us. We'll explore this And like I said, it's just, right? There's no use in this teaching. Glory to God. But notice, he said, so the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God. That's the word again, strange. Right? Strange God with him. That's Genesis 1, 2. There was no strange God. There was no darkness. Genesis 1, 2, 3. Lead him. Light. There was no strange God. There's no darkness again. Hallelujah. Okay, brother Amy, can you see how Genesis is in his... You have to read Genesis, Exodus, I'm going to read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy together. Amen. You see, in that light. Amen. The Lord leads him. There is no strange God with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Verse 13, he made him right. All the high places of the earth. We look at all this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, God helps us. Hallelujah. Okay, let's start like God has helped us. See, God has helped me in the new verse. Hallelujah. Man can't help himself in sin. No, everything a man tries to do in sin, he can't help himself. Man can't help himself in darkness. No, man can't. Hallelujah. Only God. Hallelujah. So even in the new birth, man cannot help himself to get sick. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has helped us in the new birth. Now stop. God has helped us in the new. But that's not the end of it. Hallelujah. So I said something in my notes. Listen to this. So even in the new birth, meaning in being saved, you do not say, I don't, you know, some people are like that, word man. You say people like, you look like a word man. Word man. Word man. Word man. The word man will say, I don't need help anymore. I'm helped. The child of God is a man who's helped and doesn't need help anymore. He's helped and he's helped once and for all. Come. Give me your help. Let me come. That's what man says. No, I don't need help anymore. I have been helped. You know, anybody that hears you thinks you have what? Simple. Ah! I don't need help anymore. I don't need favor anymore. I'm the favor of God. God's favor is upon me. I'm in. This man cannot do anything to help me. You understand that line? I'm the favor of God. I'm already favored. I don't need any extra people. Oh, let me give you a contract. Amen. I'm mightily helped. Yes, I know. But you don't sound stupid when you say something. Don't say I don't need help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That sounds stupid. God is not a biblical truth. Hallelujah. Because even in the new verse, hallelujah, we are still in the help of God. We are still in the help of God and need His help much more. We are in the help of God and we need His help much more. Hallelujah. Even in the new verse. So there is no plan a believer has graduated from God's help. There is no plan a believer graduates. Hallelujah. We are still in help. So this is why, look at what the psalmist is saying. A psalmist, a prophet, a minister, a man after God's heart. Yes. Look at this. Psalm 121. Are you in Psalm 121? Verse 1. He said, I will lift up my eyes unto the heat. From where cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. Amen. Amen. Who made the heaven and the earth? He said, who will not suffer my food to be moved? Okay, let's stay in verse 1 and 2. We look at the others in the coming days. Hallelujah. Then I will look up to the heat. So he said, we don't look up to the heat anymore. What man? We don't look up to the hills anymore. Moses look up to the hills, but they don't know God. But we know God. We don't look up to the hills, we look inside. We look inside. We don't look up to him.
Healed?
No. I'm born of God. I don't need to look up to him. I look to the world. What man? I look to the world.
For Moses, I mean, yes, David. The same David that said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. The same David, when God was not talking to him, that your seed after thee will I give this to. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand.
He's saying, this seed I'm sitting, I'm just a figure. It is the Lord's seed. He called him Yahweh says to Yahweh. It's the Lord's seed. So I'm just a figure. He knows.
The same person that understood supernatural things, spiritual things. You know what I'm saying? In the Old Testament, they don't know, there's no revelation of God. I said that nonsense years back. That's like Saul and Sid. They don't know the things of God. That the things of that's why I should put it here. You guys should help me now.
There are people that know this message.
Amen.
They say, in the Old Testament, there was no revelation of God. They didn't know God. And yet, the people that know God, which is the New Testament, needed the Old Testament to write the New Testament. Confirm. God needed Moses to write what he knew.
Amen. You don't say things like that. Hallelujah. Don't say things like that. That's not right.
So, when he said, I'll look up to the heathen, he knows what he's talking about.
Amen.
David knows what he's talking about. I'll look up to the heathen. He's the guy that said the Lord said to my Lord. Hallelujah. So when you use the word is healed there, I'll look up to the heathen in their world. Now, the cultural context of world, cultural connotation of world. Right? Mountains and hills are used to signify the supernatural. Let's see Deuteronomy 30. They are used to talk about the supernatural. So when Moses goes up to the mountain, they will say he has gone up to meet God. This is that. He has gone up into the supernatural. This is that. So Moses will go up to the mountain to meet God, secluded area to meet God. He's saying he's gone into the supernatural. So mountains and hills are called heaven. They are called supernatural heaven. Heaven. Is that? They are called what? Heaven. Are you there? Deuteronomy 30. Let's read verses 12 together. Are you there? So that we didn't read together today. Let's read. Let's talk together. Want to go? Okay, start from verse 11. I'll read verse 11. You read verse 12. And is this just reading Romans 10 together? For that, I'll read verse 11. Want to go? For this commandment, which I command you this day, is not hidden from thee. Whether it is a father. Want to go?
Not
what
to heaven.
That the house should say, who will go to heaven? And bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. So Moses is writing to them about, we said Deuteronomy is second nomos, right? Deuteronomos, second law, second covenant, right? And second covenant means what? Renewed covenant. Did we say it? It's renewing God's covenant with them. So when he was writing, when he was not writing to them, he now said, hey, do not think in your heart. And this was what Paul relied on to teach the church in Rome. In Romans chapter 7. Now he said, do not say in your heart, who will go up into heaven? Now when he says go up into heaven, he also said who will go, you look at verse 13, neither beyond the sea. Neither beyond the sea is, are we still going to, he's saying, are we still going to have the excellent experience of going back again to cross the sea? You get that? So who will go into heaven will mean to go and bring it down, to go and bring again the law. So what refers to as heaven there is not that can you go up to the mountain. So he called the mountain heaven. Do you see that? So mountains called heaven. Mountains are called heaven. Hills and mountains are called heaven. That is, they are used to signify the supernatural. Hallelujah. Look at how mountains is described again in Exodus 24. verses 18. Are you there? Verse 18. That, and Moses went up into the midst of the cloud and got him into the mountain. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Is that? So he called Moses going up to the mountain, meaning he went into the midst of the cloud. Hallelujah. He went into the midst of the cloud, the glory. So the mountain is used to signify the supernatural. People that in context. Used to signify the so Moses was found in the supernatural when he went up the mountain. Hallelujah. So what Moses, what David was speaking about, which I said this is going to be our team's text. That means we just enter into the teaching supernatural realm today. When Moses, when David said, right, I will look up to the east. He's not talking about going or looking up to a mountain. I want to look up to the east, so that means I'll look up to this mountain. Let's go to Urioke. No, okay. Urioke is on top of the mountain, right? So what is mountain? Why are we preparing? We start having Yoruba sessions. Some of the outreaches we do in the Yoruba town will be the one that will happen. Interpret nonsense and stone. Okay, there's nothing I'm checking your Bible. What is mountain? Apostle in Abeokuta or Lumoro. The one that will look up to the east. No. David is saying, right? He's talking about the supernatural. Hallelujah. That where help comes is from the supernatural. That I will look up to the supernatural. And he was talking about the life of the believer. I'll look up to the hills. Not once. The continuous looking. Hallelujah. We are in God's presence, but we keep looking up to the hills. Because that's where our help comes from. We keep looking up to the hills. They're not looking up to social media. They're not looking up to economic outlook. The global economic outlook. No, they're looking up to this. They're looking up to the hills. Others. Hallelujah. The believers must set their eyes the right way. Hallelujah. The man is created to be dependent on God. Totally dependent on God. Hallelujah. So I don't look out for economic outlook. I don't look out for new government policy. No, that's not where my help comes from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told us as believers, we play by a different set of rules. Hallelujah. A different set of rules. We don't look out for that for help. We need those indicators, yes, as we run daily affairs, but you know what? Our help is of the supernatural. Hallelujah. And in this teaching, from next week, we begin to exploit. Hallelujah. We're going to exploit one by each. We'll look at from what David is saying in Psalms 121, from verse 1 to 8. You see that he's dealing with the life affairs of the believer. I'll always look up to the Lord. Look up to the Lord. Hallelujah. And then we'll have to learn how to receive supernatural help. We have many more things to look at. As believers, we must learn to receive supernatural help. Learn to acknowledge it and receive supernatural help. God still helps us. Hallelujah. So the believer is not just helped of God in the universe. He is always being helped of God. God is always helping me. God is always helping me. God is always helping me. I'm mightily helped. I've always been helped of God. You know, as you start your week this week, you know, I said to say this, that in the course of this teaching, who will receive help? Even without, you know, when I now begin to teach, when we get to it, get to some things, you say, oh, this is not happening this week, this is God's help. You begin to recognize God's help in your everyday life. Hallelujah. God leads us. God helps us. He helps us. He leads us. He helps us. Always. Always. So I'm open to his help. You know, I say this in recent days, since I started this teaching, like true wisdom is teaching. I keep saying it to my brother every day. I keep saying every day to you, yesterday, I'm mightily helped of God. Today, I'm mightily helped of God. My God, I'm mightily helped of God. In my work, I'm mightily helped of God. I learn to see the help when it comes, and I take a hold of the help. Amen. I'm mightily helped of God. I don't lose out on God's help. I'm always the help of God. Always help of God. Hallelujah. You see it. You know, because of this teaching, in this week, next week, over week, weeks to come, and years to come, you keep seeing. You keep seeing it every day. God is helping us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The rest of people will say, God said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Never. Never. And the ministry towards us is the ministry of help. He helps us. 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 Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet. Let's thank him. Oh, just thank you. I'm helped of God. I'm helped of God.